God bless you, Chris, for the great job that you did tonight in leading us in those selections. Thank you, Lester, for taking us to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And we certainly thank you for making it a priority to be here this evening as we continue to study God's holy and divine word. Now, in the morning, we introduced to you an admonition that I learned from my mom almost 50 years ago. And really had been thinking about our four high school graduates had mentioned briefly part of this Bible class on a Wednesday evening, but I thought I could go back in there and flesh it out a little bit more, and so that's what we have chosen to do today. If you'll turn in your Bibles back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we did introduce this information to you in the morning as we were taking a look at a 16-year-old who became king and was blessed by God as long as he kept his eyes on God, as long as he did those things that brought glory and honor to God. And so we were saying to everyone who was under the sound of God's word this morning that it's not just applicable to people who graduate high school. All of us need to make sure that we have a healthy reverence and respect for the word of God. And to make sure that we're doing everything within our power to live under the umbrella of these truths that we find in Scripture. I think I left off, I may have been screaming when I stopped this morning, but I think we probably stopped around verse 8, if my memory serves me correctly. I was just showing you how God was blessing this man to fight bullies and beat them up. And not only beat them up, but to establish colonies where the Philistines live. So you really do have to have your act together to do that. And then we went on to talk about how he rebuilt that wall. And then at verse 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. Verse 10, he built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. See, here is, we're being introduced to an ecologist. We're being introduced to someone who had respect for the land. He had respect for the soil. He had respect not only for the people that lived within the wall cities, but thank God he was concerned about the people who lived out in the suburbs. Amen. And he built towers out there, and those people were under his protection and oversight. He was concerned about everything and everybody. And he knew that if he took care of the livestock, he knew that if he took care of the fertile plain, then all of those things would provide a return on investment to his subjects. This individual was just blessed with a tremendous mind and tremendous insight. It's just so wonderful. I hope that you will go back and that you'll get an opportunity to ruminate on this. It's probably been a while since many of you have had a chance to read this, but I'm telling you, just go back and reflect on what God was doing in this man's life. Then you find that he takes homeland security to a new level at verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions. And see, you would think that the army would be smart enough that they had come up with divisions and all that. They got that from the Bible, y'all. Here it is right here. Which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors, I want you to put an imaginary circle around the word valiant there, because you're going to see something here in a subsequent verse that I think will impress you. Of valiant warriors was 2,600. under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. If you're going to have a military, you need to outfit them. You say amen when you can. I mean, if that's what you want, and if that's the direction that you're going in, you need to make sure these people are ready and equipped to engage the adversary. And obviously, this man knew what he was doing. He did not send these people out. Now, I know when you read this, you didn't see anything about a sword. And those of you who have read your scriptures know that sword, that was like a personal part of a person's body. So they already had a sword. But in addition to having a sword, they had all of these other peripherals that would cause them to go out and not only engage, but to defeat any enemy that stood up against them. Verse 15. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Now, I just have to tell you that it breaks my heart to think that the talent and intellect that had been given to these people was actually used for the ultimate destruction of people. That bothers me. But it was their reality, and unfortunately, it's ours. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Now, if the story could end right there, we could all go home and we could all grin and we could all be happy, but the story doesn't end right there. Verse 16 says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud, his heart was so lifted up that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, when you go back and you take a look at all the previous kings or the kings that followed him, nobody ever did that before. You talking about scraping the bottom of the barrel? This is it. You see, somehow or another, he thought that he could create a god in his own image and in his own likeness so he could do whatever he thought he would do. Whatever he wanted to do. Who does that sound like to you? Sounds like our Supreme Court to me. You mean you think just because you wear a black robe and you're going to be 300 years old before you die that you can just legislate whatever you want to do and change marriage just because you think that you can change marriage? Don't these people know that God is listening? See, this is what I'm telling you. You don't have to be 16 years old to get too big for your britches. You don't have to be a teenager to mumble under your breath and think, well, you know what? I know what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years is sane, but now I think that people should just go to any bathroom they want to go to on any day that they choose. Let me tell you something. I'm so grateful that I don't have a daughter. Y'all hear me? Are you listening to me? If I were Ronnie Powell, I would be filling out a green card every week. Just because the person sits in the office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and he thinks he's going to tell every school system in these United States what they're going to do about the bathroom, he's lost his mind. And I would to God that every family, every one of them would say, well, you know what? I think I'll just homeschool my own kids. Let's see what would happen within the next 6 months. If you don't think they wouldn't fall like a deck of cards, you're not paying attention. People think that they can do things because nobody thinks that they can push back. You can push back. So I wake up on Tuesday morning and I feel like Sally Mae. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to go to the bathroom where the girls are because that's how I feel. I feel like a girl. Well, then on Thursday, all of a sudden, I'm feeling Superman. So I think I'm going to go into the bathroom with the guys. This is insane. When you ask some of our college students in the academy, hey, what do you think about this? Here's a guy, he's He's 5'6". You see him that he's 5'6", and he tells you that he's 6'9" tall, and he's a woman. You know what most college students say? Well, good for him. See, something's wrong with that. People aren't even strong enough to say, don't you have a mirror? But they started drinking the Kool-Aid. See? All of a sudden, Uzziah got so full of himself that he actually thought that he would cross a line that no one heretofore had ever crossed. And you think that you're going to offer incense to Almighty God and please God by displeasing Him? See, that's the thing that scares me. The people in the homosexual community, the people who take God's word as if God is not serious, and the first thing they say to you is, well, you're judging me. And I believe that God loves everybody. I know God loves everybody. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you going to obey the word of God? That's the question. And some people are scared that they're going to lose their job if they take a stand. Let me tell you something. If you lose that job, God will give you a better one. Well, you know, Dr. Davis, you need some sensitivity training. I said, yeah, I do. I sure do. I need to be more sensitive to what God says. That's what I need in my life. How about you? Well, you know, that's why your evaluations haven't been as strong as they could be. I said, I know that. I'm telling the truth now, preacher. I said, I'm proud of those assessments. When you fussed at me because I preached the name of Jesus, and you didn't like it, but you'll have to get over it. Let me tell you something. We are living in a day and time where you and I are going to have to decide how serious we are about God.
Right.
And somebody says, well, see, that's easy for you to talk because you can retire. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the honey-do list I have to put up with every day. Amen, lights and walls. You and I better put our full weight down on what God teaches in His Word. We'll let the chips fall where they may. This boy had lost his mind. Build a great army. You've got all of this stuff around you, and all of a sudden you start believing the press clippings. You start believing that you have actually done these things. Did you know that a human being is the only one that you can actually pat them on the back and their head starts growing? That doesn't happen with any other creature that God created, but it happens with us. It's happened to me. You start believing some of this junk that people say about you. Then the next thing you know, you can't even get in the building because your head is so big. And then when my mom comes along and sticks it with a pin and all the air comes out, see, trying to bring me back down to earth. We need people who have themselves grounded in the truth. Do you hear me? Young people, let me tell you something. I know y'all are young and good looking, but one of these days gravity's going to catch up with you just like it did me. And all that beautiful head of hair that Nicolex has right now that's nice and black and got that nice beard going, one of these days he's going to look in the mirror and say, you know, Brother David was right. Yeah, I know. I'm telling you the truth, boy. You better take as many pictures as you can and enjoy every picture that you take. Because I got news for you. It's not about the outside. It's not about the exterior. It's what's going on inside that matters. I didn't mean to get off on that, but let me get back to my lesson here. Okay, so verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah, the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. You remember that word that I told you to circle in verse 12? Let me tell you something. These were not only priests, these were bad priests. These boys could stand up and smack you if they needed to. But that's not what they chose to do. But I'm just telling you that this man was surrounded even by men of God who were valiant men. These men had a backbone. You hear me? And it didn't matter who it was. Even though it was the king, they were going to put him in his place. See, that's what we need today. We need people to stand up and say, excuse me, there is still right and wrong in this world. Don't tell me it's all shades of gray. But see, that's what they'll tell you in the academy. Well, you know, Dr. Davis, why do you just get so worked up? I mean, you really act like there are such things as absolutes. Because there are. Watch this. They opposed Uzziah, the king, and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. He actually thought that God was going to honor him by being disobedient. See, that's why I love AC so much. Many of you remember the funeral where he was funeralizing one of his own family members, and he stood right up here and told them the truth, and many of them walked out the door. You have to tell people the truth. If you don't, then they won't be able to understand and ascertain why there's such a line. If you waffle and shake, rattle and roll like people do in the denominational world, people will never be saved. Well, you know, I think I can be saved in any church. Well, it really doesn't matter what you think. Are you telling me that Jesus is a polygamist? That's what you're saying? Well, now, well, what does that mean? You know what that means. You're saying that Jesus has more than one bride. I'm saying he doesn't. Jesus is monogamous. He only has one bride. He only has one church. Well, yeah, but I think that there are Christians in all churches. It doesn't. Where is that? Amen. Well, that's all you Church of Christ people do. Just showing it, show me in the Bible. Yes! Amen. That's correct. Without the scriptures, we have nothing. Now, the way we do that, that's what they're going to harp on. Amen. See? It's not what's in the record. It's how you say it. And somebody that's as loud as me, that's why I like to go behind somebody that's nice and quiet. See? But whether I'm loud or not, that doesn't change the objective truth, does it? Thank God for those priests. Amen. Don't you think it's fascinating? Can you visualize this? 81 valiant men of God trying to stop you from God killing you. And he didn't hear any of them. But early on in his leadership, there was only one person, and that was Zechariah. Zechariah had his ear at the beginning. But now that you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, 81 priests can't even get to you. You know why some people are going to lose their soul? Listen to me. You know why? Because they're more concerned about the NFL than they are Jesus. They're more concerned about their careers than the Lord. And we won't tell them. Well, you know, Brother Davis, you hurt Brother so-and-so's feelings, so that's why he moved his membership. Okay. But what if he goes to heaven because he was told the truth? Yeah, but, you know, you ain't have to say it like that. That's why I preface most of my statements by saying, you know what, I may not say this right. And I don't want you to focus on my intonation, but I hope that you see my tears, and I hope that you know my concern about your soul. See, we people that aren't interested in coming back to Jesus, they will latch on everything but the right thing. Letters that AC and I used to send out to members. You know what they harped on? Well, you know, in the letter you sent, you know, you just used my last name. You didn't say my first and last name. Well, what did the body of the letter say? Well, the body of the letter said that you have been unfaithful to Jesus, and we haven't seen you for X amount of weeks. And we are very, very concerned. And people have been calling and knocking on your door. And we haven't seen you. Nobody says anything about that. Church discipline is something that people don't even want to talk about. But AC and I are going to have to give an account to God if we don't do it. And I'd rather have an answer for God than what you think. See, if I'm lost, don't y'all be writing me up in the newspaper, come get me because I've lost my mind. Yeah, I didn't get too many amens on that, but that's okay. I brought my own. Look at verse 19. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. Now, see, I'm telling you, I know y'all haven't had a chance to read this. You haven't really had a chance to look at the lunacy in this man's mind. He is doing something so ungodly, so unholy, and he's actually bent out of shape with people who are trying to save his life. What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like people who are telling you that, well, I really don't care what that Bible says? That's what they end up saying. What do you mean you don't care what the Bible says? Well, that's just your interpretation of what it says. Okay, well, you read it. You read it to me. What is it? You read it. All of these people appealing to him, do not do this. And when you read Josephus says that he threatened them with death if they didn't get out of his way. Unbelievable. All right, now it really gets good. Verse 19. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. You see, the very people that he became enraged with, the very people that he threatened death, were the only people who could exonerate him from having leprosy. Let me tell you something. I agree with Calvin Payne. Don't you ever mess with the people of God. Amen. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you're being treated like a third-class citizen on your job. Let me tell you something. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going through, and he knows where you are. So don't you ever think that he doesn't. I just can't imagine what that must have been like to see this guy so enraged and so argumentative, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and you're not going. And then all of a sudden this leprosy breaks out on his forehead. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. How would you like to have that as an epitaph? How would you like to have done all of these things in your life, all of this success in your life, only to come down to actually thinking that you were going to manipulate God Almighty, and then you found out the hard way? God is no one to play with. I'm afraid tonight, brothers and sisters. I am so afraid that America and the entire world hasn't taken God seriously. And even in the church, I don't think that we have taken our Father seriously. You know, we think that we're going to sit on these pews and there's going to be a spiritual vacuum cleaner to suck you right into heaven. God has given us things to do. He has entrusted to you talents and abilities and potential. And I'm not looking at a one talent person in this room tonight. I'm telling you, that ought to give you pause. It gives me pause all the time. Oh, you know, Brother Davis, you're so talented. Would you stop saying that? See, because that means I have more than one. And so do you. And one of these days, there will be a reckoning, won't it? And the reckoning's going to start with God's people, y'all. He's going to start with us. This entire event has it's amazing to me. This passage of Scripture just shakes me to my very core. And I hope and trust that all of us will come to understand the significance of success can only be realized when it is under the parameters and the auspices of Almighty God Himself. Whatever you're doing, whatever you aspire to be, make sure that God is center and central to everything that you aspire to be. Well, let me just close very quickly by telling you, and I mentioned this morning, that I have a prescription to deflate your britches. I believe that we need to guard our mind. We need to guard our mouths. We need to guard our motives. We need to guard our manners. And we need to guard our morals. Now, I'm not going to read all of the passages that go with these. I'll just give you one passage for each one. And I'll extend heaven's invitation. Because I know what you're going to do is that you will take these and then you will be able to expand them yourself. But we need to guard our mind. The passage of Scripture that Johnny read as the one of the passages of Scripture for the reference this morning was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. You know what verse 12 says. You better take heed, lest you fall. You really better take a real hard look at what you're standing on and what you're standing for, if it's all about you or if it's truly all about God. Guard your mind. In the second place, we need to guard our mouths. I just want to read one excerpt from Proverbs chapter 13 at verse 3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. See, I know too many people who will not hesitate to tell me what they think about me and everybody else. And most of those people are incarcerated. Most of those people don't have a job. Most of those people are alienated from their own families. See, because they've been labeled. You know, I shoot from the hip and I'll tell you what. Okay. But see, when you get too big for your britches, that's what happens. You know, when your mouth flies open and your brain is not engaged, it's very dangerous what may come out of there. In the third place, we need to guard our motives. There's a passage that I found a couple of days ago that I'm still going to go back and study this a little bit more, but it's a fascinating one that I want to cite. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 10. And the record says, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. You know, if you're coming to services just because you're deathly afraid of going to hell, then something's wrong with that picture. Now, you know, should we have a healthy regard and a healthy respect for the reality of hell? You better believe it. Well, let me tell you something. God's love is so big, and it has created an opportunity. When you look at what you've been saved from, you'll be able to do more for God because of His love and what He saved you from, rather than being scared to death. Because there's no fear in love anyway. That's what John says in his epistle. We need to guard our motives. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. And young people, when your parents ask you, well, why do you want to go to that movie? Or why do you want to buy that outfit? Or why do you want... Don't be getting all bent out of shape when they ask you those questions. They're trying to get you to do some critical thinking. They're trying to get you to take a look at why are you directing your life in the direction that you're proposing. Number four, we need to guard our manners. Romans chapter 13, at verse 7, the Bible says, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Guard your manners. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I went out on Facebook. Well, I don't know if it, I can't remember what it was, but it was somewhere online. It may have been Facebook. And some of these Christians were out there castigating the president and everybody else. That's a poor reflection on you as an ambassador for Christ. People read this stuff out there. Did y'all know that? And they come to some conclusion. And if you are an ambassador for Christ and you're just as guttural as everybody else, then how does that distinguish you from someone holding up the light of Christ? See, I don't get too many amens on that, but that's okay. I think if a person is in a position, if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, God's going to take care of them. I'm not saying to capitulate toward an ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's not what I'm saying. But if a person is a governor or a senator or whatever, the least you ought to be able to do is respect the office and tell the people, you know what, I'm praying for you. President Obama's daughter just graduated the other day. If anybody needs Jesus, that family needs the Lord. And then we need to guard our morals. You already know what the first Psalm says, and those first three verses. What a powerful passage of Scripture that is. Where you stand and where you sit, where you walk, all of those things reflect on if you truly are a man or a woman of God. I know that there are other prescriptions that we could use that would deflate our britches, but these are the ones that resonate with me. I want to thank you for your kind attention to this passage of Scripture. It is a passage of Scripture that I believe is timeless. And when I shared that passage of Scripture with those graduates a couple of weeks ago, I cannot begin to tell you how many grandparents came up to me and said, thank you for telling them about them britches. Because my grandbaby don't know nothing about britches. But the way that you talked about that, you made it so plain they can't miss it. I said, ma'am, that's what I try to do when we're using the Word of God. But it's not just, as I said this morning, it's not just for high school graduates. It's for all of us. Some of you have businesses and you're very successful in your business. Some of you work in high stress, big time, show enough jobs. And every once in a while, you'll probably look at yourself in the mirror and think, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. And your conscience ought to say, remember 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Okay. It keeps all of us on an even keel. To God be the glory. It could be that you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hopefully you have one of our bulletins close by. And on the back of our bulletin, we have intentionally provided for you passages of Scripture so that you can go in the privacy of your own home or your own war room, as it were, and read those verses for yourself and come to faith and obey the Word of God. But you and I have to be willing to hear, which in this day and time, people's ears are stopped up big time. Y'all hear me? The wax from the world causes them not to be able to hear from God. We hear from everything and everybody else, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 at verse 17. We then must be willing to believe what we have heard, to then repent of our sin. That word metanoia is one of the most electrifying words in the Scripture. Let me tell you something. When you make up your mind to do something, you end up doing it, don't you? You know, when Charles Lee fries fish, and I think that he is the best fish fryer on the planet, I could be within 25 miles of him frying that fish. And all he has to do is say, Brother Bill, it's fish is almost ready. Well, it's going to be bad for you if you try to stop me from getting to his house. Because I want to be there. I want to enjoy the succulent preparation that Charles Lee puts in that fish. Well, why can't it be the same way when you and I decide that we truly want to find out who Jesus is? That we truly want to know who he is. And our young people are not going to fall in love with Jesus if they don't see that we haven't fallen in love with him. Amen. They could look at us and say, well, Dad, you don't even, I haven't seen you open a Bible in years. Mom, I haven't seen you open a Bible in years. Mom and Dad, do y'all even pray together? And then all of a sudden, the icy silence in some of our homes will tell the truth, won't it? We can't expect our children to fall in love with Jesus if we're not the right example. So to repent means whatever it is that you're not doing that's right, we need to repent and start turning our face toward holiness and toward Jesus. Then confess that Jesus is Lord. Allow our bodies to be washed in water for the forgiveness of our sin. And then start living the life. Faithful until we're called home. Not faithful until your whole world starts falling in around you. That's what happens to a lot of us. Well, I lost my job and I ain't going back there. Well, you need to be running back here. Well, God don't love me. See, that's the devil talking. And when people start talking like that, they need to get with somebody who loves Jesus and loves his word so that we can pull you up out of that sewer. Because I'm telling you, the evil one is out of control. Do y'all hear me? He'll come right up in your house and slap you in the face and say, what you going to do about it, Christian? Well, if y'all turn the other way, I'll show you what I'll do. I'll say, God rebuke you. Because that's the only way we can beat him. The only way we can beat him is with the word of God. Many of you know that this message has been for us. This message has been for us. For those of us who stand on the wall and say, you know, I love Jesus and all of these things that we say. And the Lord is saying, well, when are you going to show me, Bill? When are you going to prove to me that I am your all in all? I hear you singing it, Bill, but I want to see it in your life. I'm going to start taking some of the hedges out from around you, Brother Davis, and I'm going to see how much you trust me. I'm going to see how much you love me then. What if he does the same thing with you? See, it's easy to love Jesus when y'all got so much money you can't even sit down because your wallet is just causing you to lean on one side. But when God says, will you truly give me your heart, Bill? Will you truly believe in me? That's when I'll find out. And that's when you'll find out. If there is any way that we can help you draw closer to the Master this evening, we beg you to come while together we stand and sing.